one of the things I like about the book of Joshua is there's some really good parallels between the events that they faced back there in the Old Testament and the life of a believer in Christ. There's some really good parallels. The book starts off, they're getting ready to finally have that great victorious day where they get to go into the promised land. And it doesn't stop there though. Otherwise, that'd be a very short book because it happens within the first few chapters. They make it to the promised land, but the story doesn't end there. There's a lot of events that happens afterwards. And it's kind of like with us. At one point in time in our life, we were without hope. The Bible says that we were enemies of God. And so at one point in time, Israel wasn't really, obedient. And now they're stepping off. They're going to really become the chosen people in the promised land that God gave them. And Joshua is going to be the leader that takes them in. And there's some cool parallels between the life of Israel and Joshua and the events that we go through as believers in Christ. In fact, what's really cool is the name Joshua means Yahweh saves. Yahweh saves. And what's really cool about that name Joshua is the Hebrew word for the name Joshua is the same name that the root for the Greek name of Jesus comes from, which is really cool. You get that parallel. So you see the story of Joshua, you can get some good application for your life as you get saved in Christ and grow in your relationship with Christ. And that's what I wanted to look at tonight. We're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Now, all of these events that happen here, like I said, are a great picture. But the thing that we're going to focus in on is we're going to focus in on Joshua himself. Because Joshua, I think, of all the Old Testament characters, is definitely one that's marked with being a strong servant of the Lord. And I think as you study the life of Joshua, you can really get some good application for your own life on how to be a good and confident servant of the Lord. You see, there's more to the Christian life than salvation. It's not about just get saved, trust in Christ, and that's it. Good. Now I can sit down and just kick back and do whatever it is I want to do, right? No, there's more than that. Listen, salvation is really, it's more of salvation with a purpose, right? Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast," right? That's the salvation story. You're saved by grace through faith. But a lot of times we don't carry the thought. See, verse 10 says, right, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." See, we get this forgiveness of sins and we get this new life in Christ, but it's not just to get out of hell. It's to now put that grace into motion and to go out and to serve our Lord and Savior, furthering the gospel. It's salvation with a purpose. And listen, there was more to getting into the promised land for Israel than just crossing the Jordan River. See, there was more to it than that. God didn't just say, "Okay, cross the river and you're good. You're in there. It's yours. Have fun." No, he said, "Listen, you got a job to do when you get there. There's a job to be done because there's heathen nations that are living all throughout the land. And I want you to make it a pure land. You have to go in there and you have to get them out." You see, for Israel, it was salvation with a purpose. It was that great promise, but it came with some action. And in order to do that, they were going to need some confidence because that's going to be a daunting task. This wasn't a nation of warriors. Israel did some serious fighting, right? But they're coming against some just nasty, just gnarly, hostile, violent cultures. And they were going to have some confidence. And if you know the story of Israel, they weren't the most confident lot, right? They weren't the most confident lot at all. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. So listen, just like Joshua can go in there and confidently serve the Lord, leading the nation of Israel into the promised land, in like manner, you can serve with confidence as well, because Jesus Christ is with you every step of the way. So tonight we're going to see, how can you serve with confidence in Christ? Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to just come to you right now and just, Lord, I pray that we just focus ourselves here and just set aside the cares of the world and just take this next 45 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it is, Lord, to just really dedicate to you, Lord, and really have a heart and a desire to understand your word and to see how your word just will do a mighty work in our life. And Lord, I pray that we will come into this with a spirit of humility. Lord, casting aside our own desires and seeking to gain your truth in our life. And Lord, I pray that we'll take the principles and the truth we learned tonight and we'll put it into practice. Lord, use me simply as a tool tonight to share your truth. And Lord, may we all just have softened hearts that are open and tender and ready to learn and grow. And Lord, that we will glorify you in everything that we do. And we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So how can you serve with confidence in Christ? Well, the first way is by accepting the victory that you have in Christ. You need to just accept that victory that you have been given. Look at verses 3 through 5 here in Joshua chapter 1. This is an awesome promise that God is making for Joshua. I mean, get this scene here. I want you to picture this. Verses 1 through 11 here, Joshua is talking to God. I mean, think about that. He is having a conversation with God himself. And God is giving him his marching orders, which is really cool because he's like the commanding general and he's getting the big orders and he's taking it all in. And God gives him some great promises here. Look at verse 3. He says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You see, right now, Joshua's the big man. He's the big cheese, right? Moses used to be the big man, but now Moses is dead. And Joshua's been given the task of leading this big, massive group of people into their promised land. Look at verses 1 and 2. It says, now, after the death of Moses, the what? The servant of the Lord, that's what Moses was called. It came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. So Moses is dead, God's servant. And now Joshua is stepping into the shoes that Moses was wearing. Now he's the servant of the Lord to fulfill this purpose. Moses was the big man, but now Joshua's gotten that role. It falls to Joshua to lead the people into the promised land here and remove the heathen nations from it. And listen, this isn't going to be an easy task. Like I said, these are some violent, warlike, just warrior cultures ready to, at the drop of a dime, go off and fight. And Israel, for the most part, isn't really that experienced. But the good thing is they've got one thing on their side, and that's they've got the victory already. What did God say? He said, listen, go into the land that I have given you. See, God says, I own it. It's mine. It's yours. He can go into it with the confidence knowing that God has already given it. But it's still a big task because Israel was very disobedient, very disobedient. And he had to get them into shape, get them into gear. Listen, Joshua had the assurance that if they would keep their eyes and hearts on God, victory was secured for them. Plain and simple. Joshua, I've given you the land. I want you to go in and take it. You got to keep your eyes on me, though. Keep your eyes on me. And listen, just as God had given Joshua the victory already, if you have placed your faith and trust in Christ, guess what you have already? You've got the victory. You have been given total victory already. Hold your place here in Joshua. Go over to Romans chapter 6. If you've never studied out Romans chapter 6, you need to do this. It's an awesome chapter. It's so rich. It's got all sorts of great stuff in it, but it's a great victory chapter. It goes right along with chapter 7 and 8. I like studying those three together because chapter 6 here in Romans talks all about the victory you have in Christ, what he did for you on the cross. We're going to look at some of these passages here because you got to understand this victory that you have. It's not a victory that you may get in the future. It's a victory you have now, right now in Christ. And see, then chapter 7 in Romans talks about that struggle you have with the flesh. Why do you have it? But then 8 just goes into, you know what, you may struggle, but guess what? You've got the victory because you're more than a conqueror. It's a great study. But look at chapter 6 here. You'll see this, that the victory that you have already in Christ. Look at verses 6 through 7. Paul writes to the Romans, he says, knowing this, that our old man is what? Crucified. That old sinful person is crucified. He's dead. He's crucified with him that the body of sin might be what? Destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. See, he's saying, listen, in Christ, you're now separate from that old sinful person. That's been killed off. You now have new life in Christ, and therefore you are dead to sin. Look at verses 11 through 14. He says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. He says it again. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. As a result of that, what does he say? Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. See, you're dead to that sin. You don't have to give in to that sin that's in your life. You can focus on Christ. You can glorify him. You can live in his word. You don't have to give a foothold to that sin because you're dead. It doesn't have to have a dark, stormy cloud over your head anymore. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as though that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14 is so awesome. For sin shall not have what? Dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. Paul says, the sin will not rule over you. It doesn't have to. It doesn't have to have dominion in your life. I tell the people who come out on Monday nights to Freedom Found, the only power that sin has in your life, once you're in Christ, is that which you allow it to have. You see, you give in to sin, you give in to the temptations, you give it a foothold, and that's when you fall flat, and you wonder, what happened? You see, because you've been made dead to that sin. And I know we all struggle, but it starts with understanding that you have the victory. Listen, you may struggle your whole entire life with a sin issue. You may be getting in the word and wanting to change and fighting back and forth, but if you are in Christ, the day you step off into victory, you're going to have to worry about that sin anymore. Not at all. Not at all. You have the victory. And the great thing is you can experience that here now. And listen, that's a great picture of what God is telling Joshua here. Go back to Joshua chapter 1. He's saying, listen, you're going to have to go in there. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to kick out these people. But I want you to know, Joshua, I've given you the land already. I've given you the land already. You have the victory. You have the victory. And listen, he didn't always, just like we don't always, Joshua didn't always be successful. He had some ups and downs along the way. Their first battle when they went into the promised land, they went against the town of Jericho, right? What an awesome, awesome battle that was. What a great event. What a great feat that the Lord worked in that. I mean, just think about that. You're a commanding general. You got all your troops. He said, listen, I talked to God. Now this is what we're going to do. They're like, all right, cool. Get your swords ready. We're going to fight. They're like, nope. We're going to march around for a while. And then we're going to yell and we're going to blow the horns. And we're going to have victory. Could you imagine being one of the privates in that army going, I hope so. Right? When do I get to use my sword? Yeah, so they won this great victory. But then we read in chapter 7, there's something not so good that happens. Man, see, Israel is all happy. They're all excited. They won the Battle of Jericho. They're going off. Go over to Joshua chapter 7 real quick. We're going to see something that's very sad. Now remember, God gave Joshua the victory. He's going into this with the victory already. All he has to do is obey God. Look at Joshua chapter 7. It starts off on a really sad note. They just had this great victory at Jericho. It's really bad when the chapter begins with the word but sometimes. It's like but, uh-oh. It says, but the children of Israel committed a what? A trespass in the cursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. See, they had the victory, but Joshua let his guard down. They marched on to the next city, the city of Ai, and he sent some spies out there to take a look at it, and they came back and said, oh yeah, this is easy. There's not that much. Only send about 3,000 or so. And then we can take it. Joshua said, okay. So he didn't go to the Lord first. He said, okay, let's do it. So they sent them in. Israel's army is going in there all excited. We took Jericho. Woo! Now we get to use our swords. And as soon as the enemy of Ai came out, you know what they did? They ran the other way. And 30-some people in the army of Israel was killed as they were running for their lives. And they come running back to the camp, and Joshua is there seeing them running and fleeing and dropping their weapons. And he's like, what's going on? What's going on here? And he goes to the Lord. And it says here in verse 6, he says, and Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Do you see what Joshua's doing? Do you know what he's doing here? He sees his people retreating. He knows God gave him the victory already. And he's like, what? What? We're losing. And he goes to God and he's like, God! Why are you doing this? What's going on? You said we would win. And he's renting his clothes and he's throwing dust on his head. I always thought of a turtle. And whenever I read that, I don't know what it's like the sea turtle, you know, when they're throwing the dust on their head. That's like what he's doing. And he's down there and he's like, God, why? And all of a sudden God talks to him. And God's like going, Joshua, what's your problem? Get up. He said, you know I gave you the victory. He said, get up off your face. Now, I'm paraphrasing. Don't be looking for that wording right there. That's a Pastor Shannon paraphrase. He said, get up. He said, don't you realize that there is sin in your camp? There is sin. And that's why you fail. You need to take care of it. And the good thing is Joshua doesn't debate with God. He took care of the issue real quick. Because Joshua understood one thing. He understood that he had been given the victory already. And he learned a lesson that day, that when you got God on your side, you have the victory. And if it seems like you're losing, it's probably because there's sin in your camp. Listen, if you want to serve the Lord confidently, you got to grab hold of this fact that you have the victory. If you feel like life is just giving you a curveball, don't blame God. Blame the sin-cursed world, or look for sin in your own camp and root it out. But hold on to the fact that you have the victory in Christ. Listen, when you lose sight of Christ, you open your life to sin. Trust in the victory. The second thing is by resting in God's strength and courage. Go back to Joshua chapter 1. Listen, if you're going to serve the Lord confidently, with that great confidence that you see these great saints in the Bible exhibit, you got to rest in God's strength and courage. Look at verse 6 through 7. Look what God tells Joshua here. He says, be what? Be strong and of good what? Courage. He said, listen, I've given you the land, so be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to do the right, or to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Look at verse 9. He says, have not I commanded thee, be what? Strong and of a good courage. Three times he says, Joshua, be strong. Be of good courage. And then he says, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua had a daunting task ahead of him, but it was one in which God would be with him every step of the way. Listen, God had encouraged Joshua, I've given you the land. I've given you it all over to you. And then he says, be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid. You have no reason to fear. You have no reason to run. I'm behind you, Joshua. He says, be strong and of good courage. That word strong there means to fasten upon, to fortify. It means to conquer. He's saying, Joshua, go out there and conquer. Hold on to this fact. Hold on to the victory I gave you and let it carry you all the way through. To be courageous means to be alert, to feel strong, to be determined. It means it doesn't matter what may come your way or what may happen, you stay the course. You stay the course. You don't waver. And three times God tells Joshua, be strong, be courageous. Listen, not only is victory secured, but this promised victory would fill Joshua with strength and courage that would knock out all fear. All fear. He was able to do some amazing things for the Lord throughout this book and throughout the events. It's because he held on to these facts, that God was with him and that he could trust in his strength and his courage. And listen, in the same way that Joshua was getting this great promise from God, we get the same thing through Christ. Listen, if you are in Christ, you have the greatest source of strength inside of you. The Bible says that God gives us his Holy Spirit the minute that we trust in Christ. And one of the great things of having the Holy Spirit, Christ in us, is that he strengthens us. Right? We all know Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which what? Strengtheneth me. See, the context, of course, is Paul saying, whether I'm successful or a failure, rich or poor, I can do all things. It doesn't matter. Why? Because it's Christ where I derive my strength. Ephesians chapter 3:14 through 16 says, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul just going to the Lord in prayer, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, what? To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. See, that's Paul's prayer. For all the believers to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, Paul ain't going to tell believers, he isn't going to tell us to be strong in God's power if God wasn't going to give it to us. Listen, I know some of you may be facing some very tall hurdles and some strong hardships in your life, but I'm telling you, there is nothing you can face on this world that is stronger than your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go out there and serve with confidence and with courage because you got God on your side and he will strengthen you every step of the way. Colossians 1:11 says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Strengthened with all might. We live in a sin-cursed world filled with millions of people that have no hope, no hope. The only way that they're going to have hope is if they hear about Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, the only way they're going to hear about Jesus Christ is if we rest in that victory we have and in the courage and strength that God gives us, and we go out there and we share it. I heard a story from Caleb Rich. He was telling me a friend of his in one of their science classes at Daytona State. The teacher basically said, okay, let's just get this over with. Who believes in God? A few of the students raised their hands, and one of them was Caleb's friend. And he had an opportunity to witness. The guy didn't trust in Christ. It kind of fell flat, but then he had another class several months later. And that teacher, a different teacher, did the same thing. Guy raised his hand. He said, okay, fine. Anybody want to defend? I'll give you a chance to defend. He raised his hand, and he said, oh, you must be so-and-so. We've been talking about you. By the end of the semester, Caleb said the guy led him to the Lord because he had the courage and the strength that comes from Christ, and he was resting in the victory that he already had. He didn't care. He was prepared to get kicked out of school. I guess I can't take classes. I'll go somewhere else. But that was more important. See, that's the idea. The only way that people are going to hear about the gospel, they're going to trust in Christ, is if we have the courage to go out there and share it with them. Listen, like Paul says, right, in Romans, happy are the feet, right, the ones that are sent. Pastor Dan preached about happy feet. We got to have happy feet. I mean, wouldn't that be great to have happy feet? You know? I know some of us are like, my feet aren't too happy, right? But yeah, why? Because with happy feet, that's how the gospel gets out. That's how the gospel goes out to those millions of people across the globe. Think about all of our brothers and sisters in Christ we don't know that are facing persecution every single day. Every single day. Many of them losing their lives. Why? Because they refuse. They refuse to deny their Lord and Savior. How are they able to do that? Because they know the victory that they have. They know the strength that they're getting from Christ. And listen, we can have that same strength because we've got the same Holy Spirit in us. We can serve with the same kind of excitement. We can serve with the same kind of courage. We can just serve with the same kind of zeal. Because we have that same confidence. And the third way and final way that we can serve with confidence is by putting God's word into action. By putting God's word into action. Look at verses 10 through 11. Actually, let's start in 8. Look at 8. God tells Joshua here, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And I love verse 10 here. Then Joshua what? Commanded. Joshua didn't debate. He didn't question. God gave him his orders, and you know what he did? Put it right into practice. He said, it's loud and clear, God. Amen. Turned around and put it into practice. You got to be putting God's word into action. Joshua had God's victory and strength to see him through, but he also had another great tool that would help him serve with confidence, and that was God's word. He had God's word to guide him. Right in verse 8, God encouraged Joshua to meditate on the book of the law day and night. The purpose was so that it would fill Joshua with God's guidance and truth. And just as God told him, if you would meditate therein day and night, he says that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. See, the key with God's word is the doing. It's the doing. Listen, God didn't just want Joshua to just know the word. He wanted him to know it, to meditate on it, to think on it, to let it get into him, and then to put it into practice. If Israel was going to kick the heathens out of the promised land, it was going to be because they were going to be focused on God's word. They were going to be led by God's truth. There was a mission to accomplish, and this mission was going to require action. And listen, in like manner, we all have a mission, don't we? And that mission is sharing Christ with others. Whether it's right here down the street, in our neighborhoods, somewhere here in our own country, or across the globe, we got to accomplish this mission. We got to share Christ with others. You know, we have a mission statement here that we have at Crossroads. And I kind of was focusing on it again, looking at some different ministry stuff that I'm doing with the ministries I'm over. And it's really, sometimes we can take these missions that we have here and they kind of fall to the wayside and get lost in the shuffle. And this is really what should be driving Crossroads. And it should be driving us individually. Our mission here is fourfold. It's to save the lost, to grow the saved, to equip the faithful, and then to send forth workers. It's not an easy task. It takes courage. It takes commitment. But you know what? That mission has to get fulfilled. And that mission right there all starts with God's word, right? 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto what? All good works. See, God's word has a purpose. It's to equip us so that we can then go out and fulfill those good works. We can go out and fulfill the mission that God has given us. See, that's what God told Joshua there. Joshua had this big task, lead the people into the promised land. But I want you to know that I've given you the victory already. Let that strengthen you. Let that fill you with courage. But you need to be in my word, and you need to be putting it into action. I think about the Thessalonians. Paul writes about the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 1:8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. I love that. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Listen, this is a group of people that were confident in their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to the point that their message was getting out. Paul says we didn't have to say a word. We'd walk in, they go, oh yeah, Paul, we heard from the Thessalonians. They shared it all. Awesome stuff. Man, wouldn't that be awesome to be able to go somewhere and you go, hey, going to share the gospel. Oh, yeah, hey, I watched your sermons on the website, Crossroads, love it. Wouldn't that be cool? But it ain't going to happen if we're more worried about what's happening in the world instead of resting in our Lord and Savior and the mission that he's given us and the word and the guidance that he's given us. Just as Joshua was to put God's word into action, so are we. So are we. And as we do, we'll find that we'll be serving with confidence because we'll have that awesome fruit inside us just growing. Listen, ministry can be hard. It can be very, very hard. It can be sometimes stressful, you know? And sometimes things happen that you don't want to happen. But that's just life. That's just life. Ministry can be hard. But it doesn't have to be fearful, and it doesn't have to be fruitless. You can serve with confidence because a believer's true confidence doesn't come from the numbers, doesn't come from attendance, it doesn't come from the number of amens you hear. It comes from Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Joshua understood that when he was standing there talking to God. That's why he put it right into practice. If you're going to serve with confidence, you must accept the victory you've already been given, rest in God's strength and courage, and then put God's word into action.